Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. I just went to my happy place. I just went to Maui, and it was truly amazing. Priceline has always been about getting you to your happy place for a happy price, with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels in Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the bonus episode for December 2019 of the There Will Be Dungeons D&D show. That's right. We do these once a month. And if you're hearing this into January, well, that means you're not a patron yet. So head on over there and become a premium member at therewillbedungeons.com, and you'll get this stuff a week early. For everyone who is getting it a week early, thanks for all your support. We're going to dive right in. How we usually do this is we have questions. You guys send them in. And we always need questions. Even if you're not supporting us on the thing, please send us your questions. We'd love to answer them. And you can put those in over at the website, therewillbedungeons.com. You can find us on Twitter, at therewillbedungeons, and lots of other ways. So please submit your questions so that we always have plenty to cover on this, our bonus show. Okay, I think that's it. Let's get right to it. Kristen, you have the questions. Ask away.
All right, first question. I think this is like a Beau Nash and Varel one. You can all answer together. Are Nash and Varel in Steel Heaven?
Oh, in Steel Heaven? I don't know what they mean.
Well, the Steel God has a Steel Heaven.
Oh.
The principles, Chromianity religion.
Got it.
I think that's not a question I'll answer.
I don't think so.
I mean, I thought we were originally there when we first ended up in the sewers. I thought there was going to be like a, and you're in the basement of Principal City.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like now we're not. There's too many other factors going on. Unless Beau won't tell us that Sigil is basically a, you know, he's decided to co-op it into Still Heaven. But it feels like purgatory to me, if anything. So I don't know. I don't know
that's
the answer to that.
Your characters will have to answer in game, I think.
Yeah.
So I can't really answer that.
I like the idea.
Well, sometime for the future, then.
Yeah, and the idea of so Beau, let me ask. So here's a follow up, Beau. Beau Schwartz, I have a follow up question. My hands up.
Yes, Scott, there in the back row.
In the back row, thank you. So I was wondering, do you have fleshed out ideas of some other parts of these afterlife concepts? So in other words, if I don't know, we had to come face to face with the one of the deities that one of us is into, do you have that all figured out and how it would fit into your wastelandy sort of thing? Would you follow just some guidelines set forth by D&D itself? Would you sort of play it by ear until you got there and had to deal with such a thing? Like, as DM, how do you see that stuff?
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the answer.
So you have some ideas.
Yes.
You have some ideas of what you would do.
More than just fleshed out ideas. There's a, you're in a big place right now. You guys have just sort of dialed in on the current M Fighting Championship and just focusing on what to your mortal brains sort of makes sense at this time. But yeah, you're the world that you're in has all of this.
All right. Cool.
Well, speaking of the big time Smack'em M Sports scene, would you say it's pretty stable? We have some fans out in the audience, and you know they don't want to be heartbroken.
Is the scene stable?
Yes.
There's not. They're not going to
be canceled anytime soon. How long are we expecting this to go on?
No, it's a premier. It's one of the premier M Sports. The M Sports leagues is one of the premier sporting leagues in Sigil. There's also lots of physical contests, but not everyone is as physically able. And as we saw today with the Lady of Pain, open violence in populated areas does not come without consequence. So while there's no police force, there's a mysterious being that may elect to punish or take action as she sees fit. So M fighting is supposed to be a safe way to express, you know, battle sports without actual violence. Unfortunately, Ventro didn't appreciate this lesson as a part of M fighting.
Those who've heard the episode previous to this bonus show will realize how quickly Bo remembered Ventro as the name versus the show where we couldn't, none of us could say it right for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little side note. It's a fun little
connection. I almost said Votrum. Ask your doctor if Votrum was right for you.
Oh, I love it.
If Nash is regrowing his body, will the defects be fixed? Meaning, will he lose his tiny arm and gain a member? And I just want to say, everyone is really into if you're going to get your member back.
Yeah, a little too into it.
I don't know how many questions. If so, is this decided by choice or dice roll? I think the sores are caused by his dragon heart, so I assume they will return.
What do you say, Bo? Because I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. You haven't asked me that yet in the game.
Well, all right. So there were some hints tonight that the bird and the trash monkey both know how what my problem is with casting or not getting my magic out in the way it's supposed to. And John's character tried to explain it in the way that those birds do things, and I didn't understand any of it.
It was so clear, Scott.
Yeah, it was so easy and so clear.
Yeah.
So because they're both kind of communicationally challenged, although I haven't really questioned the little one, and I may try that next week or something, but I mean, is that going to be my only source of information about that sort of thing? Or
Sigil is full of people that you can ask questions. You know, there's an information center. There is a market. There might be a magical shop. Maybe you could find somebody to talk to about that if they prove not to be helpful.
Okay.
The answers are out there. You just have to ask them.
Well, all right. And then this is what I would say without knowing the answer to the question that the person wrote in with, and Bo won't give until, you know, we figure it out in the game. My guess is I get myself back in the way it was before, not better, not worse, just maybe worse, but not, there's not going to be, here is Nash in his perfect form. It's going to be Nash in his less than perfect form. And if I went in without the ween, I come out without the ween. Like I don't think there's any magic or any miracles going to happen there is my guess.
I don't want to ambush your character. Your character can be whatever you pick it to be. So I'm not going to undermine that just as part of the player contract. You know, if I just make you something you don't want to be.
Right.
Unless that's an effect of a spell of some kind, right? Like there are, for example, if there was a druid in the party and you died and they decided to reincarnate you, you'd have to come back as a different race.
Okay.
That's just the rules about reincarnation.
Right.
But what we're dealing with here is more, you did make your saving throw. When you got burned up in the light, you were disintegrated and you're just basically regenerating, you're self-healing in a way. So likely you will come back the way that you went in.
Yeah.
Just it's going to take some time to heal.
Okay. And I get as far as what I want my baby arm back.
Yeah. I know.
The important thing.
Yeah.
I got my priorities.
You'll be back to your full normal self as long as you continue resting peacefully.
Okay. All right.
And eating good food.
That's good to know.
You'll even get your stomach back. Oh, you were really concerned about that 2 weeks ago. Where does my food go? How do I poo?
Yeah, I still don't know. I don't know what my digestive system is, but
when you get your poo hole back, you'll take a really good shit, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, listeners. And John, if you don't want to answer, it's fine, but does nothing actually have a voice of their own, but merely choose not to use it? My brain won't get off the idea. Always loved Kanku.
Yeah, she absolutely does have a voice of her own, but it's not choose not to. She can't use it. There's a curse on that race that prevents them from being able to think creatively or execute creatively. So she can only parrot back what she's heard, but internally she still processes things like you and I would. You know, she still knows what she wants to convey, And has to pick from what is in her memory that will allow her to best do that, be they sound effects, hand gestures, other phrases she's heard. But internally, you know, the way we think about things, I think she absolutely does have a voice.
So it's a curse?
It's a curse.
And there's no
curse on the Kenku.
When you say it's a curse, do we know? I mean, I don't know the history of that race at all. So who cursed them? Who placed the curse on them?
I don't remember. It's an ancient curse.
Okay, so it's some old curse. And do DMs have the option to clear the curse or probably not? Like, that probably is a
I mean,
role.
DMs can kind of do whatever they want. Bo could remove it if he wanted to, I would think. But it does fly somewhat in face of...
I passed Nash a piece of paper. Or, yeah, I passed Scott a piece of paper.
You did?
It's folded closed.
Oh. Yeah. Virtual one or what? What do you mean?
Yeah, we're role playing here. Oh. I didn't really give you a piece of paper, but I passed you a piece of paper.
Oh,
it's folded closed.
Okay, well, I'll open it later and then pass you another one.
Oh, you'll
in class.
Open it later?
Okay. Yeah, we can go together later.
Not gonna open it right now. This imaginary paper.
Yeah, this paper that you've given me, I will not open right now.
Anyway, it's the DM's discretion. He can choose to do what he wants. But. I mean, traditionally, one of the main characteristics of this race is that they can't speak.
Huh. Well, you're doing a great job.
They're really good annoying people. But yeah, John's killing it with the character. He's really playing him exactly right. And Nash wants to cook that bird and eat it. He's so annoyed with it.
You're so harsh on the bird. The bird just told you what you needed to do to get your magic back, and you just don't want to listen.
Next week, I'm going to dig deeper into that bird's knowledge. You watch, everybody. I'm going to find out.
Or the players. We'll find out. One thing at a time. So I was trying to transition there. Totally dropped it. Lots of practice, you know. One show at a time.
That's right.
For the players, if Pharrell manages to revive you both, do you think the team would go back to fighting the principal, or do you think it may turn into more joining the principal and finding a way out of the Katobal Praith deal?
I'll let you go first, Kristen, because you mostly just get to ask questions, so here's one for you.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer, because there's no telling where the story's going to be at that point. Because if we revive and go back, will it be right when we left? Will it be millennia into the future, to the past? I mean, there's so much that could happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm going to have to see what happens. I don't even know where Stanley's head is going to be at if he comes back to life. Mm. You know, that's a big thing that happened, and that's enough to mess with anybody, and how he's going to have to deal with that and rationalize that, especially if he comes back in this new place. But for all I know, if he gets resurrected, he pops back in the stupid pit right where he was when he died. I don't know. So it really is going to depend on the situation.
Yeah, and then what happens to the souls, too? Where have the souls been? Have they been suffering anything, or?
Yeah, I actually asked Bo that. I don't know if we have Bo. Does anybody else see what's Okay.
Yeah, he's there. He's got Christmas crap going. What is that?
It's like Kyle is giving the baby some shakes, and I think it's disrupting her call.
I am not shaking the baby. That is a different thing.
Yeah,
no, not shaking. He's rocking the baby.
We are partying.
Yeah. Rocking the baby. Yeah, yeah. No. Nothing bad. It's good, but it's funny to see. I think it's disrupting the call because there's too much bandwidth with all the
chunks going.
Data going through.
All the data. The baby data. Okay.
Well, you know, there's less encoding. When an image stays still, there's less encoding because there's less movement, right?
But that's doing true. Movement, yeah, I guess so. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Oh, there's actually a logic behind it.
Liked it. Yeah. Yeah. That's why you get artifacting in low quality streams and video when there's a lot of movement. Anyways, that's a different topic. But yeah.
Sure.
I can't really answer that except to say if you're a petitioner for a Weirlord, you're probably experiencing some kind of crappy void right now where there's just complete nothingness.
Hmm.
I'm definitely experiencing nothingness.
Yeah. You're nothing.
I am nothing.
Yeah, his name throws me too. That's the other thing, because Bo can't use the word nothing in other contexts without me thinking he's talking about the bird, or sometimes he'll use the word nothing in the right context, and it sounds like he's saying nothing as in the lack of something, not the name of the bird. And I'm still not used to it, but that's part of the fun. That's part of the fun.
Since we don't really know what the principal did with Dientalis' soul after it was removed from Stanley, is it possible he could be in Sigil as well?
Oh, shit.
Anything is possible if you believe hard enough.
Yeah.
Right?
They did say they were going to launch it into space, I think, right? Wasn't that the original plan? I don't remember exactly what the principal said.
That was just Varel's plan to get rid of
him. Oh, that was Varel's plan. He wanted to launch into space. I knew somebody wanted to send Dientalis to
Dientalis
space.
The principal took Dientalis away for study.
Okay. Didn't he have a final solution, though? It clearly wasn't space. That was Varel's plan.
Yeah, I'm a little foggy on that. I have to go dig up my notes or even possibly listen back to that. But the original plan was to imprison him within a crystal and to study Dientalis and possibly learn ancient wisdoms, whatever learnings that could be taken and absorbed into the principal's knowledge to fight the Weir.
Is
the stated purpose.
He gave him Twitter access. I know that.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
For the record, that's me posting as Dientalis, if anyone... That's what you get when you have...
Oh, that is you? I didn't know that was you. I had no idea it was you.
Yeah. I haven't done it in a while, but
yeah.
Yeah. I had just have a side account. I wasn't using it for anything. So I'm like, I changed it to Dientalis and I sent creepy messages to John. And I think John didn't know it was me and didn't think it was me and just thought it was someone weird doing it. So I told him.
Well, there was somebody doing a Nash account like that, and I still don't know who that was. And I also noticed they haven't posted
that wasn't
forever.
Me. I'm the Dientalis.
That wasn't you?
Account.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I wondered if that was you. It was clearly
and
not,
yeah. Yeah, maybe there's a little secret there. Like Dientalis was whispering messages, like a little ARPG going on.
Could be.
With Dientalis whispering messages to Stanley.
Well, no one's picking up that signal, right?
Maybe ASMRPG?
No, not an ASMRPG. But maybe their connection is not as severed as we think it is.
Ooh.
The principal doesn't know that the connection is as severed as it is.
Ooh. All right, Varel, do you have a plan or any thought about what you might do if you can't revive Stanley and Hope?
Oh, man. Burn down the city? Like, that's the problem. It's like, it all goes to hell if it doesn't work out, right? Yeah. And it'd be fun, but today we met the Lady of Pain, and that was rather intense, and there's a god that oversees all this, so... He's got some stuff to consider. There's deals, but like now there's sort of a benefactor or an insurer. So I don't really know who's evil and who's not.
Yeah. I was thinking about that today. There are people's roles or yes, it's less clear. And so it's not as simple as just burn it all down. Even if you wanted to, you just get sucked through a tiny hole.
Yeah. Once this M fighting arc is sort of done with, it'll be interesting to see maybe if nothing asks for your help with this little assignment that Pelvis gave him.
Oh, yeah, because we hadn't heard we heard the name clearly, but it's not a name of a person I don't think any of us have come across yet.
Mm-mm. Don't think so.
You know, there'll be a way to explore the secrets of Sigil and the Outer Planes, I think, if nothing asks for your help. I don't know. I don't know what she'll do.
Whatever we do, I hope that we combine the Road Warrior with, like, space crystal airships. Yeah. So everyone else has these pristine Sigil ships, and we're all, you know, done up in our tires and spikes and chains.
Yeah, I love that. Mix those worlds up.
Mm-hmm. Since Nash's magic item is his heart, could he still turn into a dragon form with his current form?
Oh, shit. Maybe.
Would it be a tiny dragon?
I don't know. Bo would have to say.
Just a little dragon heart that floats around going, I am the last one.
Yeah, there's a claw sticking out one, tail coming out the other.
Nash has yet to try it. It took him 3 episodes to cast a spell, so saw the result of that.
What I had feared was true. The reason I hadn't cast anything up till now, partly is because we haven't had much to cast for, but was because I just figured in this form I was going to not have everything I needed. And so when I finally did it today and burned a slot doing it, it was worse than I thought. Not only can I not do it, but it burns a slot. So
yeah, I'll say this. You functionally have access to everything you did before. Nothing's changed. Your spells didn't work because of a reason outside of you. They otherwise would work fine.
Someone's blocking them. Someone's blocking them or something.
Yeah, you just need to figure out what's going on with that. But without that, it isn't a nerf on your character or a change to the way your character works. It worked fine. It was just negated.
And if I went back and listened to the show, I would probably hear the freaking parrot tell me again whatever that Jimbo Jambo was. And there's probably a hint in there where I'll go, oh, okay.
Yeah, so because nothing and Squirts have lived in Sigil, maybe all their lives, I'm not 100% sure the details of their backstory, they know the answer, like, easy. And you know that Squirts is casting magic, no problem. So,
all right, I'm talking to Squirts next week.
Yeah.
In the middle of the ninja fight.
How are you doing this? I need to know.
This would be a great time to tell me. This is bad. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not going to be an epic quest that takes a ton of time or anything like that. It's a it's an answer that's unique to Sigil that you just don't know because you're a clueless Berk.
Right.
He is a Berk.
Mm-hmm. Very definite.
You're new. I mean, it's not your fault. The new people of Sigil all go through the same hazing process.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Actually, I'm enjoying it a lot. That was one thing. I don't know. Maybe we have. I didn't look ahead, so I don't know if anyone's asking. But I think one of the fears that some players had, or listeners rather, had when we lost Stanley and Hope was, what are you going to do? It's just going to be this strange lizard man and his floating heart pal, gallivant themselves through Sigil or whatever. And I have to admit, I had the same kind of like fears. Like, I don't know how this is going to go. This is going to be so tonally different than what we've done up to this point, given the change in team makeup, that I just knew it was a challenge just from that level forward. And so now that we're there though, it all feels fine. Everything feels good. Like, I don't feel that weird trepidation at all. And I wonder if listeners, if they feel that way or if they're still sort of reeling from what happened. I got a private message from somebody who's watching us on Twitch and says, I'm not caught up, but can you tell me if Stanley and Hope are dead? And I said, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to spoil that for you. Are you going to keep listening? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell you that. So, people are obviously very invested in these characters. And I was really, I was kind of worried about that. Like any, I've talked to Liam a bunch about when his character died in their first season, because he was the first to go down.
Oh.
And we've had lots of back and forth about it. Nothing I could say super specific here, but, it's the same. It's a scary proposition. And when two of you are gone and one of us is reduced to a freaking potato with an eyeball in it, and one of us is, confused and is still all the things Varel is, but in a strange new place. Like, that's a scary idea, but it's all working out. I really like where it's going. It's fun.
Right, and it's amazing how much the dynamic has shifted, too, with the group, because now we have, really, Varel kind of taking the lead, whereas before, he had the lead, but not so much. And then Nash, you're having to do a lot of the figuring out, but, of course, with the attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
Stanley here to set everyone right. Stanley was like... Logic man, like, oh my god, you guys are all idiots.
All right.
It's like, is it possible to be any stupider?
Yeah, we don't have that voice anymore. Yeah, we don't have that. Instead, we have somebody over there going, "Caw, freaking, I'm going to repeat what you said, caw." And it's awesome because what it's doing and forcing everybody into roles wise, I really like it. Like that, like I'm saying, like all of that stuff. I was nervous, and then I don't know. It's all playing out. The game allows for that, obviously, because it's D&D, but I think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing within our construct, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, and as long as we're all having fun, right?
Yeah. That's the key.
Question for Bo. Would you be willing to make the rules available for some of the games you've invented for use at home in our own D&D games?
I have plans for the M-fighting thing, because this is a mini game you can also include in your campaigns. It's pretty easy to play. I think it would be easier in person with a mid of cards. And then you put the move you want to play as a card sort of face down, and then you both reveal them at the same time. So the rules are done. I'm just working on other heroes, and what we might do, I haven't decided yet, but we might try to make like a product available for it or something like that.
Yeah, stay tuned. That'd be cool.
And instead of the marionettes, we might, you know, instead of the characters I have, we might include, instead of Kung, it'll be actually Vorel and, you know, TWBD characters. I'm kicking around the idea now, but we're,
Well, I know of a couple of good writers in the team. I know a guy who can draw stuff. I know someone who knows a lot about making rules work. So,
Just be a mid of cards and a little character sheet for each marionette with the abilities on them. And then add some dice, and you've got a mini game for your D&D campaign that you can also inflict on your players.
That's pretty cool. I like it.
And then writing off of that, Bo, you DM for There Will Be Dungeons and play the Inverse games, but do you have any other semi-regular non-podcast games as a player, or is it strictly DM City?
Strictly DM City. Nobody IRL I know. So that's why I love John, because John wants to actually let me play and do it. Otherwise, I have no one. Bless John.
Oh, man, Bo. When we go back to Inverse, I had such a cool idea. From when I thought it might just be you and me. I'm really looking forward to the next session of that.
Sweet. Me too. But yes, what you've heard me playing Baffo is the sum total of all my time as a player in my entire life.
Oh, really?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've never played as a player. If I want to play as a player, D&D just doesn't happen. Someone's like, I'd like to DM, and then it just never happens.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, people find it daunting to DM, and, you know, even... Yeah, it takes a bit of education and time, even though it's more than you think. It can be done very easily, but I just still think it's a big ask for a lot of people. They get intimidated by it, and it's hard to get over that hump. And as encouraging as people can be about it, you sort of have to take that initiative to do it too. So, that being said, I almost got my family to play D&D on Christmas. I bought the Essentials kit.
Yeah.
The impulse buy. I was at the bookstore, and it was there, and I'm like, I'm buying this. And it's actually really good. If you want a first time DM, it puts everything into a real concise package that I haven't seen in any of the starter kits before. It's really impressed with the approach they took with it. So I recommend it if you do want a first time DM, just as a little plug.
I bet everybody's got a little juice in them where they would want to do that, but it is daunting. Like, I hear about it and I think, ooh, that'd be fun one day. And then I think, I don't think I would be very good at this. And then you start questioning whether you should ever do it. So I'm not, I guess I'm not surprised that you have a hard time finding other people to DM in any sort of in real life stuff. But at the same time, I'm glad you're doing it here. Cause I don't know, it feels like we're in good hands. And so
I don't want to say it's a personality type. It's just, there has to be a bit of willpower to push it, you know, to want to do it. At a certain point, everyone can encourage you, but at some point you're going to say, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And I just think getting over that hump, once you get over that hump, then you realize it's not as bad as it seems, I think, it's just that first hump to birth a new DM into the world. It can be tough. But I haven't, with the exception of John, no one else has DM'd for me. So may Paylor bless John with bountiful harvests and golden sunshine.
I just found it scary but interesting, so I decided I should try it because it scared me. So.
It's good. Do things that are scary is good.
Yeah. And did you have fun with it? Did you learn a lot? Did it teach you about being a player as well?
It did. And I did learn a lot, because as soon as the session was done, I was like, I need to redo my entire universe. Boy, I really shouldn't have planned it as much as I did. but it was good. It was super fun. And getting to do that for all of you was a pleasure. Couldn't ask for better people to get to do that for. So.
Tear up here right in the holidays. All right, last one, going to Varel. Has Varel considered going to the farming district to inquire about citrus plants, hoping a farmer might comment on their lemon tree, thus giving him an excuse to release some rage? Or will he keep it building up inside so he returns to the wastes with enough to explode the principal with his frustration alone?
Oh.
I get all excited.
That's good. Oh my. That could be it's a city of endless possibilities, right? And that's what's so daunting about it, and why Varel, I think, grabbed onto the first thing that happened, which was M fighting. Because literally, I could have gone and done anything, like became a lemon tree farmer and tried to make money like that. And we jump ahead 10 years, and Varel's now an old man because lizards don't live a long time. But we're going to get him back, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
fresh lemonade, hand squeezed by Varel.
I mean, I do like the idea that one day we can, like, Varel's arc is a little bit like, you guys remember the Clint Eastwood movie from the 90s? He won Best Picture for Unforgiven. Do you remember that movie?
It's been a while, but I remember it.
I love Unforgiven. It's a great movie. And but basically, it's he's in that retirement mode. He's chopping wood and living in a thing out in the nowhere, and, you know, just kind of doing that thing after a long life of lawlessness or whatever. And then he gets roped back in. And to me, that's Varel's arc. Like, he keeps doing the noble thing, finishing the noble work, finishing the noble fight, and then opening his place, and people are there and they're enjoying it and all that. And then he gets yanked right back in again.
I mean, I guess I have a question for Kyle. Is Varel has always seemed to enjoy accolades and recognition for his mighty deeds. Oh. And he's certainly receiving a lot of that at the moment. Is Varel starting to come around on this, or is the lack of using actual physical might still keeping him from enjoying his status as an M fighting champion?
Oh, that's an interesting idea. I think the money could go to his head, honestly. Like, that's, if we can break down the barrier, and my goal of next show is to, like, go to the merchants district and figuring out how contracts work. Because over time, it's been an exposure to society. Like, he opened an inn and learned the value of money. So he understands money now. He just doesn't want to sign any contracts. But if that happens, I mean, then he's showing up to events wearing a cape with, like, sponsors on him. I mean, it just goes to his head, and we never leave.
Oh, man.
It's so fun to see.
Yeah.
I love the evolution of Varel and his understanding of how the world works. It's great.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time. Well, these are great questions, as always. You guys kill it with these things. And we love them, and we need more of them. If you want us to do these 30-minute shows every month, well, damn it, we need the questions, but also we need your support. Thanks, everybody who is supporting us. If you haven't, head on over to therewillbedungeons.com and click on our premium options. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. Physical stuff, digital stuff, this bonus show, and more. Over at therewillbedungeons.com. Kristen, thanks as always for curating that list.
My pleasure.
All right. Sorry. It was a pregnant pause, but it was fine. I didn't mind it. The baby's here now. I don't know what I'm saying. All right. That's it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back next week. No, next month with another bonus show, but next week with an actual show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.